Okay, and so we turn in our Bibles to Hebrews and chapter 12, just verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Okay. Making progress. In the last few weeks since Easter, we've been reflecting on this particular theme of making progress. What does it mean for us to make progress? And particularly some, as I would see it, some of the bigger issues that we need to grasp hold of if we are to make good progress in our Christian lives, make good progress in our lives of following after Jesus. We have reflected upon the authority of Jesus. When we say, Lord Jesus, I will follow you. Lord Jesus, I will follow you. We step, and we quite deliberately step under his authority. We quite deliberately make a step. We step under his authority and accept that he has a right to speak into our lives and to direct what we do and what we say and where we go. And ordinarily, if people tell us what to do, and if people tell us where to go and what to say and so on, I guess for most of us, we object. And we think, well, who are you to tell me what to do? But when we become a Christian, when we become a follower of Jesus, we step under the authority of Jesus. All authority, said Jesus, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We step under that authority voluntarily. We're not forced to, voluntarily, we accept his authority. And then we recognize that another essential element of our Christian lives, if we are to make progress, is that God does not abandon us, Jesus does not abandon us in our lives, but he blesses us. When Jesus made his last statements to his disciples before he ascended to heaven, he blessed his disciples. And do you remember the hands? In particular way, the blessing of God, a blessing of peace and wholeness to be upon them. And so we step under the authority of Jesus and he blesses us day after day after day after day. And that blessing is that he gives us everything we need. And we can easily say, well, I'm not sure I know what's happening tomorrow. I'm not sure I'll be prepared rightly for tomorrow. So I don't know what it'll bring. And Jesus says, you don't know, but I do. And I will bless you with everything you need for tomorrow. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It is new every morning. The blessing of God. And then glory. Just reflecting on glory. The Bible speaks of the glory of God. People falling down on their faces when they see the radiant glory of God. They don't know what to do. They're dumbstruck by the glory of God. The glory of God is the holiness of God made visible. What is the holiness of God? I think I've described it as, we can use many different words to describe God. He's powerful, he's majestic, he's loving, he is kind. And we can make this great long list of attributes. This is what he's like. And we're trying in some way to almost put a bubble around him and say, well, this is what he's like. But ultimately, we have to say that even though all those attributes are in God, they do not contain him. He is bigger and more and other than all of these. And so we use the word holy. We say God is holy. He is just above and beyond even all of these. And when God chooses to make his holiness visible to us, it radiates his glory. Radiates his glory. What is the glory of God? Well, ultimately, there's one word that possibly gets close to encapsulating God. It's love. God is love. And the glory of God is the radiance of his love. And then we talked about faith, making that clear decision to trust in the God who raises the dead. We're not believing and trusting in anything fanciful or fairies at the bottom of the garden or just hoping willfully, you know, if only this could happen. We are trusting in the God who raises the dead and is able to change lives. So we've reflected over these last 4 weeks, obviously, on these big themes. And today we reflect on the theme. No, it still won't do it. We reflect on the theme of journey, making a journey. The first passage that we read this morning about the young man who comes to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, the message from Jesus to him was go and sell everything you have and give the money to the poor. Then, do you remember what he said? When you've done that, come, follow me. The writer to the Hebrews said, let us throw off everything that hindered us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance. The Christian life is a journey. You know, when I became a Christian, and this may be true for some of you, when I first became a Christian, I don't think I was told really that the Christian life was a journey. I mean, it was very much for me of what you need to do, and this may resonate with some of you, what you need to do is you need to make a decision for Jesus. You need to confess your sin and become a Christian. Say the sinner's prayer, and you're a Christian, and that's it. Now, that may have been true for a number of you, and certainly that was something of the impression I had when I was young, when I went to church. Was all I had to do was make a decision for Jesus, and that was the beginning and the end of it. I became a Christian. And yet when we read the Bible, there is never a sense just of, I'm in, you're out. I've made a decision for Jesus and you haven't. Therefore, I'm saved and you're not. As somebody once wisely said, it is not whether you're in or out, but it is the direction in which you are heading. The call is to head towards Jesus. And I've got four words here: direction, purpose, motive, and decision. I'll just quickly look at each of these in terms of journey. And the first is that of direction. The call always from Jesus is, come, follow me. There may be many other things that we are called to do in our lives, but what we go back to is this simple command. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. It is fundamentally about Jesus and following after Jesus, journeying after Jesus. It is not about whether I'm in or out. It's not really even about whether I'm saved or not saved. It is not really even about whether I'm a good person or a bad person. Fundamentally, it is about, am I living in obedience to this simple command? Have I begun to follow Jesus, and am I continuing to follow Jesus? Somebody just recently, after my thought for the week, I don't know if you plow your way through the journal, you have to kind of plow your way quite a way through it now, to find the thought for the week. And I wrote a thought for the week recently. And somebody said to me, I'd like to talk to you about that. And I thought, oh, what have I said? You know, I couldn't quite remember what I'd said because I'd kind of done it, emailed it. I'd like to talk to you. And what they wanted to say was, couldn't you have put something in about saying a prayer and being forgiven? You know, becoming a Christian. I don't do that anymore. Because the Christian life is not that simple. It is about journeying and making for Jesus. It is about direction. Some people will say, well, you know, well, I could say for myself, I made my first decision for Jesus when I was 12 years old. Quick calculation. 36 years ago. See, I'm still young, you see. I'm still young. 36 years ago, I made that decision for Jesus. The question you should ask of me is not when did you become a Christian, when you started follow Jesus, but it's, are you still following Jesus? You may be aware, I do not believe in a once saved, always saved. Some people do. Some people do think that once you've made that confession of faith, that's it. You are saved. And I go, I don't actually think the Bible teaches that. It's a come, follow me. Yeah, I began following when I was 12 years old. And the key issue today for me is, am I following Jesus today? Not yesterday, not last week. Am I following Jesus today? Will I be following Jesus tomorrow? I can't answer that yet. Tomorrow, I can tell you. But the key is today. How about you? Are you heading in the direction of Jesus today? Are you still grappling with come follow me today? And that's about direction in our journey, heading in the right direction. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Secondly, we think about purpose. What is my purpose in life? Why on earth should any of us begin this journey? Why should any of us choose to accept the invitation of Jesus, come follow me? It's simply this. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, I've come that you might have life. Life in all its fullness. Why should you, why should I make this journey? Why should I, for 36 years? I know that's just a snip for some of you, but why should I, for 36 years, seek to head in the direction of Jesus? Why should I, for 36 years, grapple with the values and ethos of Jesus, trying to make his life my own by the help of the Holy Spirit? Why should I do all that? Why should I struggle daily to work out what this means? It is because Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. Come follow me and you will discover not just life, but he says, fullness of life. Fullness of life. What is the purpose, therefore, of our journey? It is to discover life and to discover the fullness of life. And here's a confession. Do you know what the most difficult part of following after Jesus is? I don't know what you would think if I asked you what's the most difficult thing about following after Jesus. For me, the most difficult thing about following after Jesus is me. It's me. Because I've discovered, to my shock and my horror, Jesus is in the process of transforming me. Do you know, if only I could stay as I was and journey in the direction of Jesus, that'd be great. No hard work at all. But day after day, Jesus is challenging me about my character. About my character. About who I am. And transforming me. And it's as if Jesus is saying, look, the purpose of following after me is that you will come to know life. Life in all its fullness. But here, there's a bit of a problem. What's the problem? Well, Ed, there's this part of your character we need to sort out. Okay. Day after day after day, Jesus is in the process saying to me, okay, we need to sort out your character. And as I submit, as I step under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus, as I submit to his will for my life, you know, I feel a lot like Jacob sometimes, wrestling with God. Do you ever feel like that? Wrestling with God, saying, I'll do all this other stuff, but do I really have to change? Clinging on to God. But the call is that of transformation. I will never discover the full purpose for my life. I will never discover the fullness of life for myself. And here's the thing, you will never discover the fullness of life for yourself unless you let God transform your life. And there are some very disturbing and difficult things we need to unlearn. There are some very difficult things that we need to unlearn. We need to unlearn our attitude to money. We need to unlearn attitudes to possessions. We need to unlearn particular political viewpoints. We need to unlearn these things that we might take on a new perspective, which comes straight from Jesus. And for a lot of us, that destabilizes us because we have grown up with a particular solid foundation, we think, about money, possessions, politics, and so on. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to turn that around. Let's unlearn that because there's something better for you to do. So Jesus said, come follow me on this journey. There's a direction we head towards Jesus. Purpose. What is your purpose? It is to discover the fullness of life. And it's not material. It's a little bit tangible. It's out there. So we have to keep journeying to discover it. The third thing here I want to touch on is motive. Motive. Why do you follow after Jesus? Why did you start following Jesus? What's in it for you? He loves you. Do you know, when I read the Gospels, and particularly if you take a moment and read about the disciples of Jesus, I wonder sometimes about their motive. What was in it for them? You come across a character like Peter. And Peter's great because here we have somebody who, it seems to me, for him, Jesus was everything. He didn't really care. It was just Jesus was everything for him. What's my motive? It's just Jesus. When Jesus turned to the disciples and said, okay, tell me, what do other people say about me? Who do they say I am? And the disciples began to go through the list of the kind of things they'd heard. Well, they think you're Elijah, come back from the dead. They think you're a prophet, a great prophet of God. Other people think you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. What about you? Who do you say I am? And it's Peter. It's Peter. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's you. And Peter, his motive is, hey, do you know what? I don't really care. I'm for Jesus. I just want Jesus. After Jesus had shared bread and fish with a crowd of over 5,000 people, the crowd began to follow him wherever he went. They thought, I think they thought that they would get a free meal every day with Jesus. Stay with him and he would just produce food. It was great. So Jesus began to ratchet it up and make his teaching harder and harder and harder. And people began to drift away from Jesus. We can't hack this. We don't understand. We don't want to go with this Jesus. He's not giving us what we want. So the crowd of thousands begin to drift away. In their ones and twos, their tens, their fifties, their hundreds, their thousands begin to drift away until it's just Jesus with his disciples. And you can imagine the sense of euphoria of the thousands who were following Jesus. And now it's just back to us. What about you, says Jesus? Are you going to leave? And Peter, I don't care. It's all about Jesus. Peter says, where would we go? Where, to whom should we go? You've got the words of eternal life. Jesus, if we left you, we'd be lost. We don't quite understand you, even though we're with you. But we know you've got the words of eternal life. And that's Peter. That's his motive. Is, you know, I don't get this. I don't really understand you. But it's all about Jesus. You know, there was Thomas. I like Thomas. And I think he's got this unfortunate title, isn't it? What do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Why do we call him Doubting Thomas? Thomas, I think, was the scientist. He was the analytical one. He was the one who was gunning for truth. He was the one who was saying, I won't believe unless I know it's true. He was the one who broke it all down into little pieces that he could analyze it and work out if it was true. When Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, I'm going away from you. You won't better come right now, but you know the way. Thomas is the one who says, we don't know where you're going. So how can we possibly follow you? For Thomas, it's, let's come back to basics. What is true? What can I depend on? He's the scientist, the analyst. When the other disciples meet up excitedly with Thomas after the day of resurrection and say, you will never believe this. We've met Jesus. He's alive. And Thomas goes, do you know what? I don't believe you. Unless I put my hand in his, I put my finger to his wounds in his hand. Unless I touch the wound in his side, I won't believe. We call him Doubting Thomas. But you see, Thomas was the one who knew the dead don't rise. Once you're dead, you're dead. He knew it didn't happen. He was a searcher after truth. What was his motive? To discover truth. But once he saw Jesus, once he touched Jesus, my Lord and my God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what's your motive? Why are you following after Jesus? What's in it for you? Whatever personality type we are, whatever switches us on and gets us going, I want to say to you that whatever it is, there is room for you to follow after Jesus. You may be like Peter, you might be like Thomas, you may be like one of the other disciples, but there's something in it for you. Discovery in your way about who Jesus is and your response to him. So motive. And then the last thing is decision. What's your decision? What is our decision about Jesus? It can be very easy to say, it can be very easy to say, okay, just say this prayer and you're in. Okay, I'll make a number of how many people said the prayer. Another follower of Jesus. Right, you're in. It's not actually that easy. We read the story earlier about that man who comes to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, here's all the commands. I've done all those. It's almost as if Jesus was trying him, testing him. How serious are you about following after me? I've done all the commands. Okay, one more thing. You're a rich man. Go sell your house. Sell your car. Sell your possessions and your holiday home. Sell all of these things. And then come back just with the clothes on your back. And when you've done that and you've given the money away, then come follow me. I would guess for many of us, that's a step too far. And we would go, decision? Ooh, that's a bit much. What about this? What about that? What about my pension? What about my future? Oh, dear. And this is the big thing about journey. It's not when you were 12, how the world looked and your decision then. It's now when you're 48, how does the world look? And what's your decision today? Would you follow after Jesus today? Yes, no, or maybe. We need to understand this principle of journey. It's not just about the decision in or out, saved or unsaved. It's about a journey for life. It's about understanding direction heading towards Jesus. It's about the purpose. Why would I do it? It's that we might discover life in all its wonderful, glorious fullness. What about our motive? We might question our motives. Why are we in it? Whatever our motive is, there's room for us to get in there and to follow after Jesus. And it comes down to the decision. We cannot have that journey unless we decide to make the journey. Let's just pause there and ask God's blessing on us. Living God, you have lavished your love and your kindness upon us. And for some of us, we can go back decades and tell many stories of answered prayers, of your kindness and love towards us. And Father, we are so grateful that on our journeys, you have sustained us. That we have discovered for ourselves that your steadfast love is new every morning. And you've given to us what we've needed when we've needed it. Father, today we would decide afresh, yes, I'll follow Jesus. For all the years that lie ahead, I will follow Jesus. We pray, gracious Father, that you would lavish your grace, your undeserved favor upon us, and you would help us, you would strengthen us, you would encourage us today as we seek to respond in obedience to you. Amen.